Hallelujah. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, that was pretty awesome. God, just so good, eh? And boy, the desire to continue to get to know him and to spend time with him should always be in the forefront of our lives. What a great reminder that song gives us. Bless the Lord. Boy, you know, I've been traveling through Psalm 34, and Psalm 34, our time there sitting on it is going to be ending soon. But I want to look a little bit at it again this morning. But before we do, Wednesday nights, there's going to be an online Bible study that we want, and we're encouraging you. You know, it's important that we study the Word of God together. So we're encouraging you to take part in that. You can get a hold of us through the church. Let Bryce and Alina know that you're interested. They'll give you the link. And they'll also sort of guide you. And you know what? If you can't be there every Wednesday, you know, that's okay. They run like on their own. So take part in it as much as you can. And that's just a great way for us to get together again during the week. I'd like to also just mention to you that in the next 2 weeks leading up to Easter, that my wife Noreen and I are going to spend more of an exorbitant time of spending time with God. We're going to listen to what Lisa was directing us to do today and find those secret places a little bit more and just lay our lives in the church life before the Lord. And if you'd like to join us and spend some time in this latter part of Lent, that you would just set more time apart with God. That would be, I think, appropriate. But I just wanted to make mention of that because it's important that we take times and seasons to really, you know, really get clear about what God is speaking into our lives. So that's what we're going to be doing. And I just wanted you to be aware of that. Pray with us, pray along with us, and as we seek the Lord. Also, of course, Easter is a couple weekends away. And that weekend, we will be having, of course, our Easter Sunday morning service. We have also a Good Friday, sort of a reflection and communion service we'll spend together. And those services at this point are live stream, but there is a hope, a glimmer of hope that we could actually have people in the building. But we'll have to see. We don't want to get our hopes up too high. But this is a very possibility at this point that we could do that. Also on the Saturday in between, we just want to have a fun event for all of us. It's a mobile event in our vehicles and just a Easter scavenger, kind of Easter treasure hunt. And I hope you'll take part in that. We'll be posting that up in the next week and you can get all the information from our website. So hey, Psalm 34. Let me just read a few verses again. And we're at verses 11 to 15. It says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life, loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace, pursue it. Because the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." You know, I love this this kind of thing. You can almost see David here as a preacher because it's a very motivational message here. He goes, "Who's the man who desires life and loves many days that he may say good?" And we all go, "I do," because it's what we want. Of course, we want a good life. We want to see good days. We want, you know, to things to be well with us, and we want a long life. It's the kind of things that we all would say yes. And David sort of opens it up, and he goes, "Hey, who wants that?" And we all go, "Yes, me, it's me." And then he goes, "Okay, then hear this. If you want to see this life, this good life with God, and you want God's eyes towards you and his ears open to your cries, then we've got to have this behavior and lifestyle that's becoming of Christians." And what he shares here in these next few verses is exactly what Peter shares in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. He quotes Psalm 34 when he says this is how we ought to live as believers. You know, we're to seek We're to seek God. We're to fear God. We are to have a healthy respect and awe of God, that God could be the forefront and the direction of our lives. And in the midst of that, that we would desire to live holy lives in response to His kindness and to His grace. One of my favorite songs, actually, modern songs, is one we sang this morning, that at the cross and that love ran red. I love that song. I just love it because it's at the cross. It's at that moment of grace and kindness that I was given a reprieve and given new life and given hope again. And isn't that just amazing and beautiful for us this morning? But in the midst of that, that we would desire to live more godly lives, more righteous lives in response to His kindness and His grace that He gave to us through Jesus. And you notice how it turns into the aspects of action here. You know, He says if we're going to live this good life and we're going to respond to God's grace, then it's going to matter how we profess Him, and it's going to matter how we treat each other. It's going to matter that we live to do good and not evil. It's going to matter that we would seek peace and pursue it. You know, it's going to matter how we respond to one another. Because not only do we need to love God, but we need to love our neighbor. We need to love each other as ourselves. You know, how we treat one another matters in the eyes of God. I love that God cares for us when we trust in Him. I love that God is like a banner over us and that His eye is on us. You know, no matter what, you know, we saw the video about the desert or the wilderness. If we're experiencing that in our lives, we may not feel like God is always there, but our faith says that God is there, that God is with us and walking life out with us. We're never alone. His eye is never off of us. What a promise. You know, what a knowledge to know that God is over us, and that should cause us in the times of temptation and the times when we're tempted to sin or to do something or say something that's not godly, for a moment that we would just pause and remember that God's eye is on us, and that fear of His presence, that wholesome fear, would cause us to do what is righteous and godly. You know, I have a famous saying. You've heard this saying, and I've learned to live by this. It's, you know, it's better for me to keep my mouth shut and think, you know, have people think I'm ignorant than to open it and remove all doubt. You know, sometimes I can say the most stupidest things, and I can do the most stupidest things, but there's that moment of pause sometimes when you know you should not say it. You know, that moment when I'm in the car and my wife comes in and sits down beside me, and as I begin to talk, my mind is going, "Don't do it, Rich." And I say it, and afterwards I'm thinking, "What in the world was I thinking?" You know what I'm talking about. You know, I just love the fact that God is with us and He's a banner over us, and that I could be knowledgeable that God is with me. And when my wife walks in and sits in the car, I know that God is with us and His eye is on us. You know, James chapter 3, verses 2 to 12, we if you've been in Christian, you know, a Christian for a long time, you'd recognize the passage immediately. It says, "We all stumble in many ways. If anybody doesn't stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits in the horses' mouths that they'll obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. They're so great and they're driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body and it boasts great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire or a spark, as some translations say. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea are tamed and have been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth, come both blessing and cursing. And my brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh water. I love James here. He's so practical, but he tells it like it is. You know, we have an issue with our tongue. You know, we have, and we always probably will be. And we're trying more and more to subdue it and cause it to be righteous and be good to each other and to speak life. You know, David in the passage of Psalm 34, he says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. It's not always easy. You know, it's a challenge and it's a temptation always. But God has given us the means to more and more filter our lives so that out of our mouth come wholesome, edifying things. And out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible refers to that we speak, the mouth speaks. And that's why I think it's important that our heart is shaped after God more and more. That's why I think Romans 12 is so important, that we would be transformed in our mind, in our thinking, you know, and we would start to more and more have the heart and the mind of Christ, so that when we open our mouth, we say good things and we don't trip up as often in our lives. You know, James refers to bits in horse's mouth and a small rudder in a ship, examples of very small things that turn large objects. You know, you look at a big ocean liner or a big freight, you know, boat, and they have a small rudder in the back, and that rudder can turn the ship. And the same with the horse, you know, with the bit in the mouth. You know, if you want the horse to turn, then you turn it a certain way, and the horse will go. He'll fight you at times, but he'll go eventually. And he goes on to say, in the fact of a forest fire, you'll all remember back a few years that one time when Alberta and BC had probably one of the worst forest fire seasons. And it all started, most of it, from a guy who was cooking in his restaurant, I think it was Barrier. He walked out the back to have a cigarette, and he tossed his cigarette butt, thinking he'd put it out. And the next thing you know, all that area started on fire. Now, that's the negative side of a small spark turning a fire. How about the positive side? You know the old Sunday school song, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around will warm up to its glowing. You see, there's a positive side. You know, we have such power in our tongue to breathe life and death. And you know, it even says in Proverbs, in verses, and I've lost it, 18, chapter 18, 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know this, I know this. You know, we know that one word given to somebody, especially a child, can really dictate the kind of life they go towards. You know, and it's not just somebody else all the time. Sometimes it's ourselves believing and saying things that we all of a sudden are held to. Like as a child, for me to say I would never amount to anything, it crippled my life. You see, we have a power in our tongue to confess and to believe that confession in our heart and to live by it. And that's why it's so important in the Christian faith, why we confess Christ and believe it in our heart, because they're tied together. It's important that we understand this. You know how much it says the ship or the horse, you know, the fire, they're all, the horse, let's say, you know, is controlled by the rider. And we have control of what happens with our tongue. We can train our tongue. We can choose life or we can choose death in the power of it. You know, how we talk about ourselves sometimes is just, it's too demeaning. It's too defeating. And we need to not be proud, you know, prideful in an evil sense, but we need to have an understanding that God loves us and that we need to speak well of ourselves. You know, the last year in my golf season, I had my friends I golf with, and one of them's in the room here today, and he'll know because it involves him. And we were, you know, I like to talk. My sister and I are the same. We talk a lot. We analyze. We figure things out. And sometimes we do too much. And so one day on the golf course, I'm having a pretty rough day. And I get to the one thing, and I finally had kind of enough. And I said out loud, you know, like, I am so useless. I'm paraphrasing, but it's accurate. You know, I can't play this game. I'm nuts. You know, and this friend in the room looks at me, and his face told me everything before he ever said anything, and challenged me to not be so negative about myself. He was right. You know, it didn't help that others joined in on his thought. But, you know, sometimes we can be our worst enemy, and we need to see a view of us in the light of God and his grace and his mercy. You know, how we talk in general can be very defeating for ourselves, for other people. You know, the language we use, we can swear lots, we can use God's name in vain. You know, we can often talk a certain way instead of breathing life in the midst of it. You know, honesty, you know, lying, you know, is defeating, not only outwardly and deceiving, but it destroys our inward life and our relationship with God. You know, being honest with God, being honest with others, being honest with ourselves. You know, not using and allowing slander and gossip in our lives. You know, the gossip that, you know, wants us to speed out things about other people. And slander is sometimes using the truth, you know, the actual truth of the matter, but using it in a way to destroy somebody's reputation or to destroy them. Promises we make to each other and to God, oaths we make, vows we make. You know, the Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. You say it in truth or you just don't say it. And how we talk about others, you know, especially when they're not around. There's just so much things. These are just examples of ways we can get into trouble and be tripped up with our tongue. But the tongue has turned brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, nation against neighbor, nation, family members, marriages against each other. You know, the tongue corrupts the whole person, James says. You know, and I think that's another reason for Philippians chapter 4, where it says to think about and meditate on things that are good and wholesome and lovely and of good report. You know, to meditate on the things that are going to build us up and cause us to speak well of ourselves, of God, of others, instead of tearing people down. You know, he actually traces the tongue and the nature of the tongue and the evil of the tongue back to, as he says, hell, to the sorcerer, to hell, or the devil, the source of hell. You know, that word he uses, there's a Greek word, Gehenna or Gehenna. And it comes from the Greek form of the Hebrew name for the Valley of Hinnom. It's a spot south of Jerusalem where the rubbish of the city was deposited and burned. And this continual burning of rubbish became a figure of eternal punishment. So you can just picture, as James talks about this, people's picture of the day, thinking about this rubbish area that was continually burning and associating that. There was a clear picture of what it would be like and where the tongue came from and where it could destroy lives. Matthew 12, 36, 37, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So what's the big deal? You know, you take the big deal here from James, it's simply this. You know, from the same mouth often come blessing and cursing. And it shouldn't be that way, because we're being transformed as believers, as Christians, into the image of God. You know, we don't do what we did this morning, stand on the stage here or in your home, and me in the back over here, and together lift up our voices to praise and bring glory and honor and greatness to God, and to speak and sing that out with a heartfelt purpose. And then to walk out of the room here and for me to tear down my brother or sister in Christ or anybody else, it's ludicrous, James is saying. There needs to be a transformation that's developing in our lives so that more and more, you know, what you see and what you hear is what you get. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." That word edification is a building construction word. And simply it means architecture, a structure, a building. So really what James and Paul here in Ephesians are telling us is that we are called to build up the structure of people's lives, and especially in the church with one another, that we would be building each other up, edifying each other, so that our structure of our life and the building up of our lives would more and more be wholesome and good and pleasing to the Lord. Can we make that kind of just a momentary affirmation together, that you and I would agree together that for the best interests of us all, that we will more and more look to edify and build each other up in our faith? That's what it's beautiful about this church family, is that we have been given the privilege by God to interact with each other and build each other up in our faith, and to make, you know, our lives be more full of joy and peace through our interaction with one another. Grace, edification, and grace, the same word Paul uses here in Ephesians 4, it's the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That's really the simple way to put it, but it's a powerful way to put it. You know, God's influence in our hearts and it being reflected in our lives. That's what God is doing in building up our lives. You know, our current situation here, it's been an interesting year. You know, and there are all sorts of thoughts. There are two sides to everything. And the thing that alarms me or worries me or grieves me is that as a church and as believers, that the devil could come in this time period and just try to bring division between us. He's been doing it for centuries, and he's certainly going to take advantage of right now what's going on in our world to try to divide us. Can I say, whether you agree with certain people's philosophy or theology, if you don't agree with their stand on this whole COVID thing and they don't agree with you, can I just say from Ephesians 10, you know, to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, that we would put on the full armor of God so that we will not be able to stand firm against, or we will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but with principalities, rulers, powers, and world forces of darkness, against these spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. You know, we're not all perfect, are we? You know, none of us are. And we all struggle. We all battle, you know, our behavior, our thinking, our tongue. We all battle it. Let's be honest and upfront right here. We're all in the same boat. But we have got to begin to really saturate our lives with the heart and the mind of Christ. More and more growing up in our faith, so that more and more out of our mouth comes the ability to speak truth, to edify, to encourage, to speak the gospel, and just to be able to bring the presence of God outward from our lives. It's an amazing thing to know the truth, to have the hope of God in our lives, that we would behave in such a fashion. You know, John 13:35, you know this verse. "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." We are not going to let the devil divide us. We will stand firm, we will recognize his work, and we will continue to move forward, encouraging and edifying and speaking the truth one to another in love. So, putting this all together. You know, that's where we came to in Psalm 34. But I think it was important, and I really felt in my spirit that God didn't want me to pass over this thought of the tongue to remind us how important it is to guard our heart and to speak edification out of our mouths. And I'd like to leave us some scriptures here today from Proverbs to invest in. Some words from Solomon that just speak to us and just encourage us how important it is to have our tongue reflect our inner self and our heart. Proverbs 21:23 says this: "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles." Amen to that. As I said earlier, sometimes I open my mouth with my wife, and if I didn't do it, I'd save myself some trouble. Psalm 15, verse 1, the first part: "A gentle answer turns away wrath." Proverbs 17:27: "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." Proverbs 10:32, the first part: "The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable." Proverbs 10:31, go back a verse to the first part: "The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom." Proverbs 12:25, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad." Proverbs 10:11, the first part: "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." Proverbs 15, the first part of verse 4, "A soothing tongue is a tree of life." And Proverbs 16, verse 24, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Oh, we have the power of our tongue to lift people up, and we have the power of our tongue to bring people down. I know what you want today, and I know what I want. We want to edify and build people up, and I encourage us to do that so that when we praise God and we give God glory and honor, there's nothing in the flow of that because of how we behave here on earth. God, you're so amazing, so good, God. And from the get-go this morning, God, I have been drawn to the fact that God, in the songs and in the worship, that you are everything. And God, because you are everything, and because John 15 tells me I can't do anything without you, then God, I strive to know you, to get to know you, to find that secret place, God, to know what it's like to have fellowship with you intimately more and more. And God, I pray for us all that would be the desire of our heart and the actual, God, the oomph we put towards it. We don't just talk about it, but we do it. We seek you, God. And in the midst of seeking you, God, I thank you for us all that we find you. And God, you transform our lives. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us and indwelling us and allowing us that still small voice that's guiding us and directing us. We need you so desperately. And God, I pray your word today for us all. Psalm 141, verse 3. "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Oh God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. We're going to take a few moments just to, again, just think about the message this morning. Think about your life. Think about your relationship with God. And again, just to close off today, we want to just sort of, again, just yield ourselves to God and to His Spirit and take a moment to reflect on that. And can I say, church, you know, I just really appreciate you all. And I am championing you. This next 2 weeks, as I set time aside with my wife, we are going to lift up your names before God. And I believe God is doing something good in your life, and that God will continue to do that, and that God will bless us as a believing family of believers together. Oh, let the Lord love you today. Be filled with His joy. Be filled with His peace. Oh, because He certainly loves you. God bless you.
Well, I hope that you have been challenged like I have been challenged this morning. And I hope you understand, too, that it's not just the words we speak out loud, but it's the words we speak everywhere else. And sometimes that's our texts and our comments and all of that. And so, yeah, do we reflect Christ in our words online, in person, and even in our heads to ourselves? Whew. I know what I'll be praying about this coming week. So with that said, I just want to restate some of the announcements. So we want you to mark your calendars and just prepare to just celebrate Easter weekend. So yeah, Good Friday. Prepare to just be online and reflect on what Christ's death means to us. Have a time of communion. Saturday, we want to have some fun. So book us in. We want to have fun together. Fun breeds life. It builds trust, and it just brings, some joy. And then, of course, Sunday, we'll be here online. And so all of this is 3 weeks away. Also, if you're a voting member, we have our town hall meeting for our AGM coming up on the 28th, and we want you to mark that in your calendar as well. And you should have received an email this past week with all of the information. So, and we traded an hour of sleep for some daylight. And I know that we've been living through this pandemic for a year, but I just feel good this morning. I feel excited. I feel hopeful as we look to Easter, as we remember that Jesus is our hope. It's just good. It's good to be excited. So church, I pray that you're blessed. I pray that you find some excitement, some energy in your week as we walk out this challenge. God, one more time together in unity from wherever we are, we give you praise. We give you glory. Oh, and God, we ask that we would be challenged to just reflect you online, in our words, in our self-talk. God, we would remember that we are image bearers and everyone else is as well, and that we would speak life and love and truth to one another. God, thank you for seasons of life. God, as we just prepare to enter into Easter and then into spring, God, we look to new birth and to new life and to hope that you give us, Jesus, and we thank you for that. Help us to get excited in this season. God, this is what your church is built upon. So let us just be full of joy and bring that to our communities and our homes and to the ones around us. We thank you, Jesus, and in your powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen.